If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
I'm so glad we had this time together, just to have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know it, comes the time we have to sing so.
Legendary, truly legendary. Carol Burnett, the theme song from her variety show that ran 1967 to 1978, picked up something like 40 Emmy Awards, the show overall. It was a multi-Emmy Award winner and truly one of the legendary shows of that era. Reruns still exist and are still running on TV stations that show sort of the best of Carol Burnett show. The DVDs are out. And if you, you know, if you certainly if you grew up in that era, Saturday night it was appointment television, watching this great program with the incredibly talented Carol Burnett and her supporting staff of Tim Conway, Harvey Korman, Vicki Lawrence, Lyle Waggoner, and one guest star after another, a who's who of A-listers and some of her best friends who would come on the show and literally put on a Broadway musical every week with song and dance and spoofs of old movies and satires and original comedy bits. Truly one of the great television shows of all time. We've been very fortunate to develop a relationship a little bit with Carol Burnett over the years in interviewing her here on the program. We were able to be with her at when she did her one-woman show at the Rialto in Joliet. It's got to be 4 or 5 years ago now, I would think. And now she's bringing that show to the Chicago Theater for 3 nights beginning May 17th. It's a show in which she comes out and talks to the audience, like she did on her old variety show. Bump up the lights, takes questions from the audience, shows old clips of her shows. It's a really, really fun night. I highly recommend it. I can't wait. And we were able to spend some time with Carol on the telephone this week to kind of give us a little preview of the show and talk about that classic television show, some of the classic moments on the show. A real pleasure to welcome back to the program, Carol Burnett.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me back.
It's so good to hear your voice.
Well, thanks, Dean.
I'm so excited about the shows that are coming up at the Chicago Theater.
Me too.
May 17th, 19th, and 20th.
Right.
And I've seen these shows that you do, these, you know, nights with Carol with the clips and the questions from live from the audience, and they're so much fun.
They really are, and I never know because I don't want any pre-planned questions. So that's what makes it fun because I'm flying without a net, but the audience is my partner. And so, we open the show with some of my favorite Q&A's from the show, from the television show,
right,
to get the theater audience in the mood, you know, and to let them know that's what this show's about. It's not a one-woman show. They're my partner.
Yeah, and it's so spontaneous. I mean, that's what everybody said. When you did the show, I think the last one you did in our area was out at the Rialto in Joliet.
I think so, yes.
Yeah, and everybody said, you know, there must be plants in the audience because she's so quick with answers and... but I said, you know, that's Carol. I mean, she's been talking to audiences all these years now.
I've been doing this for over 20 years. And the thing is, I love it because it keeps the old gray matter ticking.
Yeah.
You know,
it's as much for you as it is for us, I guess.
Absolutely.
Huh?
And, you know, the brain needs exercise just as much as the body. And this is a very good brain exercise for me because not knowing what anybody's going to say, I have to be in the now. I can't be thinking about tomorrow or what I did yesterday or anything. I've got to totally be in the present, you know, right there.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it just keeps me ticking, as I say, you know. And sometimes, I mean, some of the questions are comments I get are just, they're gold, you know, and you could never have that if you had plants in the audience.
Yeah, no, they're hilariously funny, and your reactions to, you know, the people, the sweet reactions, the, you know, the funny ones, the absurd questions that are.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a good time. It's such a good time. And I remember, so I'm not taking credit for any of this, but I remember so clearly saying to you out in the backstage of the Rialto, you need to be at the Chicago Theater downtown. It's a theater that's worthy of Carol Burnett.
Well, thank you. And here we are.
I can't wait for it all.
Yeah.
What are the most frequently asked questions at these shows, Carol?
The Tarzan yell. why do you pull your ear? What's Tim Conway like in real life? How did you discover Vicki Lawrence? Then we talk about Harvey and stuff like that, you know. But as I say, it depends on whom I call. If they're going to say, would you do this? You know, sometimes I don't get the Tarzan yell because maybe somebody would have asked that, but that's not, I just didn't happen to call on that person.
Yeah,
you know?
It's just not guaranteed that it's going to happen.
No, not really. But what's really interesting, and I'm very thrilled about it, is that because of our DVDs that have been put out by Time Life and that the fact that we're on YouTube, I'm getting fan mail and audiences that are like 9 and 10 and years old.
Isn't that amazing?
And teenagers. You know, I'm getting, I get mail that's on their little 3-hole line school paper, you know, and they draw pictures. It's just, it just fills my heart, I have to say. And about a year ago, I was doing this. I was in my hometown, San Antonio. And there was a little boy in the second row. I've told this story, but it bears repeating. It is so cute. He raised his hand, and I called. I said, okay, you, right there in the second row there. And I said, but first, what's your name? And he said, Andrew. And I said, how old are you, Andrew? And he said, 9. And I said, and you know who I am? And he said, surprisingly, yes.
That's fantastic.
I mean, you can't write that stuff. It was just so sweet.
Is
that adorable?
That's so absolutely adorable.
He was so grown up.
Don't you think that speaks to the timelessness of your variety show and all that you've done through the years, that you can still watch the DVDs, you can watch some stations show the remake.
Yeah, the only thing that looks strange are, you know, the clothes and the hairdos and the makeup and all of that, of course, because, of, you know, in the 70s and all. But the material, for the most part, we just went for belly laughs and, you know, for the fun of sketches. We never were very topical. Occasionally we were, but that wasn't our deal. And so I think that's one reason it holds up today. You know, I dare anybody to look at the dentist sketch with Tim and Harvey and not just scream with laughter. And that's well over 40 years old.
Yeah, the movie parodies are timeless.
Yeah. See, I grew up in the 40s. And one of the things I did as a kid, my best friend Isla May and I would go see the movies. And then we'd come home and we'd pretend to be Betty Grable.
Oh, wow.
And June Haver in The Dolly Sisters or something, you know. So when I grew up and got my own show, I could do these with costumes, with lighting, with an orchestra, with, you know, and some of my favorites are African Queen that we did, Double Indemnity, Postman Always Rings Twice. All of those were with Steve Lawrence, who was a brilliant sketch comedian.
Sure was, yeah.
Aside from being a great singer.
How interesting that while you're listing these off, that you didn't put Gone with the Wind in there, and that's probably the one that people remember
most.
Well,
I said those because those were ones I really grew up with.
Right.
Gone with the Wind, I think I saw it when it first came out, and then I didn't see it again until years later when they reissued it after they worked on the color.
Yeah, right.
So it wasn't something that was imprinted in me and going
as
to the
kid,
movies.
As a kid, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But still, I would guess is probably, of all the movie parodies that you've done, probably the one that people comment to you most on?
Yes. And aside from the brilliance of the Bob Mackie curtain rod idea, the sketch itself is brilliantly written because the writer, one of the writers, it was a team, his thesis in college was on Gone with the Wind. So he knew every kind of story beat to put into the sketch. You know, and so, I mean, coming down those stairs with a, you know, and then when Harvey says, I love that dress, I say, I saw it in the window and I just couldn't resist it, is a brilliant line. To come out of that whole sight gag. But I have to give Bob Mackie credit. I don't know if you know, or I guess not, but I'm going to tell you. Bob designed every week 60 to 70 costumes a week.
I remember reading that it was it was
over 17,000 costumes in 11 years.
A major Broadway show put on every single week.
Yes, we did. And he designed everything we wore, the dancers, the singers, the guest stars, all the sketches. He put us in the fat suits and the funny wigs and the, you know, the boobs hanging down.
I was just going to say the Charo's mom. I was just going to say.
What brings you to Tara?
You fixin' you. Stop it. I love you. That gown is gorgeous.
Thank you. I saw it in the window and I just couldn't resist it.
Classic. More with Carol Burnett coming up next. My Dean's List A-List interview today with the legendary Carol Burnett, coming to Chicago in the Chicago Theater May 17th, 19th, and 20th. Tickets still available. Ticketmaster through the box office. I can't wait. Very, very excited. And other big news that Carol shared with us as well, a new memoir that's coming out on September the 13th that's called In Such Good Company. Carol shared what will be in this new book.
Yeah, and with anecdotes about several of the guest stars, stuff that went on backstage, off camera, trips we took together, how I found Vicky, Lyle, Tim, and Harvey, the writing staff, and descriptions of several of the my favorite sketches and how they came about. So, yeah, it's I felt like Norma Desmond at one point when I was doing research for this because I had to watch all 276 shows.
Just to remind you of some things that had happened.
I remembered a lot, but and I fast-forwarded through a lot of stuff, you know, as I was watching it. But still, some of the stuff I had forgotten. And so I remembered after I saw it, and then, oh, good, I can write about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's also, when I talk about the timeless nature of these shows, I mean, the guest stars who are on the show, a who's who of A-listers on the show every single week.
Yeah.
I was reminded of that when you were on Stephen Colbert not too long ago, and Kevin Spacey also happened to be a guest on the program, but he came out as Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah.
And
that was so sweet.
I mean, you were inflappable on the show no matter what was happening, but he kind of got you that night, didn't
he? Oh, he did.
You were in tears. You were so moved by what he was doing.
Yeah, I was. And because also Jimmy was my favorite. I idolized him growing up, and he was my favorite movie star forever. But I remember the first time I saw him, I might have been 3 years old.
Yeah.
In Texas in a movie, and I know I was really that young because my feet didn't touch the floor. And I said to my grandmother, I said, Nanny, he's my friend.
Oh.
And she said, what are you talking about? I said, he's my friend. He's going to be my friend. I know it. I just know it. And she said, that's nice. Drink your Ovaltine, you know. And sure enough, it happened.
Well, I'll tell you what. That was it was so clever what Spacey did.
Oh, well, have you ever seen him do all of his voices?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, brilliant.
I've interviewed him many times, and I always apologize to him that I feel like I'm, you know, I'm putting a quarter in you and asking you to do all of your impressions that
you do. Well, I have to say, Kevin is one of my favorite actors today.
Yeah.
You know, he can do no wrong. So when he came out and did that, and he wrote the poem.
Yeah.
himself. And nobody wrote it for him.
Read the poem the way Jimmy used to read poems on Johnny Carson.
On Johnny Carson, yeah.
It was amazing. Just talking about like going back to those days, I've been spending a lot of time with you on television in the most unexpected way.
Really?
You know, there's this new, I don't know if it's a new cable channel, new to me, called the Buzzer Channel.
Oh, and I don't know that.
It's nothing but game shows, Carol.
Oh.
And a lot of the old black and white.
Yeah,
I've Got a Secret, Password.
Yeah.
A lot of Carol Burnett with Gary Moore, on the game shows.
Right.
And it's so much fun to, because my first exposure to you was on Gary Moore's show. So it was that era. It's, you know, very nostalgic, and you're so funny and so witty.
Oh, thank you.
You know, even back then.
Oh, well, I'm a nutty game player. I love to do that. And, well, I remember that. We used to love to go on Password. Elizabeth Montgomery and I used to play the championship rounds.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, and those were a lot of fun to do. And, I think about Gary. When you bring him up, I think about how he impacted my show because I wanted it to be like Gary. I wanted us to be, have that family feeling.
Right.
Whenever we would, I'll give you an example. On Mondays, we'd read the script around the table and everything for that week. And if Gary had a punchline or a joke or something that he wasn't too sure, he said, give this to Durward, give this joke to Carol. They can say it better than I can. And that's
generous.
A true rep company, and that's what I wanted. Even though my name was in the title, we had a true rep company. There were many sketches where I would support Tim Conway or Harvey, and so it was really somebody else would run away with a sketch, and that was great. That's what I wanted.
Yeah,
that everybody contribute like a true rep company.
Like a true rep company, and mm-hmm. We've talked about this many times on the show about Johnny Carson, how he would. Feed his guests to make
exactly
give his guests the best line. So
It
only makes the show better. Exactly right. I'm not sure that you get enough credit for being one of the first women to head a show like that. There's so much talk now about women in movies and women on television and diversity and so forth. You were one of the first ones to push. To get your own show, to really blaze trails for people.
It was an accident. When I left the Gary Moore show, CBS signed me to a 10-year contract where they wanted me to do one special a year and two guest shots on any one of their sitcoms or something. But there was in the first 5 years, there was a clause in the contract that the agent was brilliant, and I don't know how it'll never happen again, and I don't think it had ever happened before, that the clause was that within the first 5 years, if I, Carol, wanted to do an hour-long comedy variety show, and all I would have to do is push the button, and CBS would have to put it on whether they wanted to or not. And I said, oh, I'll never do that. I don't think I could ever host a room. I never thought of it until the last week of the fifth year. And my husband and I had just moved to California. We were sitting on orange crates in a house. We got the down payment up. And we looked at each other and we said, we better push that button.
Wow.
And we did. And CBS was not happy about it. They said, comedy variety is a man's game, Carol. It's Sid Caesar, it's Milton Berle, now it's Dean Martin and Jackie Gleason.
Right.
And they tried to talk me out of it and put me in a sitcom called Here's Agnes. Can you picture it? And I said, but I don't want to be Agnes every week. I want to be different people.
Yeah.
And I want songs. I want guest stars. I want music. I want comedy sketches. And they had to put us on the air. 30 pay-or-play 1 hours.
Wow.
So that's how it happened.
And the rest. And,
otherwise, it never would have happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it was, the audience obviously loved it. And, the ratings were there. So, I'm sure that they were ultimately happy that it happened.
Oh, yes.
But isn't that funny that how just, you know, some things by accident happen sometimes.
Totally. I mean, that, you know, I would have had a whole different career.
Yeah. And as a result of that, as a result of the show, I interview people all the time when I ask who their, you know, their comedy heroes are. Your name comes up.
Oh,
if I
that's
talk to
lovely.
You know, the Tina Fey's, the Amy
yeah.
Poehler's, the Kristen Wiig's.
Uh-huh.
Talk about whoever is the hottest name in comedy right now. Talk to Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of weeks ago. Carol Burnett.
I mean, well, you know, people have said that, and I'm very flattered, but my response is, if I'd never been born, they'd be doing what they're doing.
You think so, really?
Yeah. I think the talent will out. Somehow they would have made it happen.
Well, thank goodness you were there to guide them along the way.
And well, I appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank you.
Provide all the rest of us with so many laughs. I am so looking forward to seeing you when you come to town.
Well, please come backstage and say hi if you see the show.
Very definitely. I'm going to be there on the first night for sure, at least.
Super.
May 17th, 19th, and 20th at the Chicago Theater. Some of the shows are close to being sold out.
Yep.
So don't wait to get your tickets, but get to see Carol Burnett. I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of experience. Through Ticketmaster, through the box office, all the usual places. And the new memoir, In Such Good Company, will be coming out on September the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Carol, you take care. And
Dean, you too, and thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. We look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you.